Hey guys, it's your host, Dr. Barry here. Thank you for joining us today for what I hope will be a very exciting and entertaining episode of the Health and Wellness Connection TV show. I just wanted to just thank you guys for sticking with us. You know, we're doing the whole TV thing. It's kind of a new area for us, but we're doing pretty good, and we're just thankful for you guys for checking us out every week and just kind of keeping abreast of what we're bringing to you every day, actually, on Afro Vibes TV. Now, again, this is the Health and Wellness Connection TV show, and we're going to talk about some of the latest issues pressing, you know, kind of on the current landscape in the health and wellness arena. Now, of course, I'm sure that you guys have known that one thing we've talked about fairly regularly on this show is the recent saga regarding health and wellness in regards to COVID-19. Now, I'm sure you guys are tired of hearing about COVID-19. It's been a constant topic for the past few months, but for good reason. I mean, the COVID-19 pandemic has literally killed millions at this point, and it's been something that many governments, many countries across the globe are trying to find ways to deal with and cope with it, especially during this period, which is considered the high season for really all cold and flu viruses, but definitely more so for COVID-19. So let's talk about some of the numbers and kind of just briefly go over some of the issues that COVID-19 is causing various countries and municipalities across the globe. So globally, so far, 91 million people have, again, been diagnosed with COVID-19 illness. Approximately 1.9 million people have passed away, and approximately 65 million have recovered. So again, the pandemic showing that not everyone who contracts the illness will succumb to it. Actually, the vast majority of people who do get sick will actually recover without significant problems. Now, of course, one thing that's not being talked about a lot is the complications that occur with the COVID vaccine, which is causing a lot of the problems and also causing a lot of the concern for the infection itself. So, you know, just because people are fully recovered, it doesn't mean that it's without danger, because there are people who are recovered but are still having prolonged symptoms, heart symptoms, lung problems. So it's definitely something to be concerned about. So again, people are focused on those and making sure they, you know, keep track of those symptoms, in addition to the simple deaths numbers, which have been kind of spotted around fairly regularly. That being said, countries now that have been leading the coronavirus infection wave, if you will, unfortunately, like we said on many episodes, the United States has been really leading the entire pandemic for many months now, outside the early days when China was the number one country. And now U.S. has been number one for many months now, essentially taking on the COVID-19 identity at this point. And it's unfortunate because, you know, many people have blamed the Trump administration for the bungled handling of the pandemic initially. And definitely, I think there's some blame to go around to really all parties. But, you know, for a variety of reasons, the pandemic has now really defined the United States at this time. We say this because the United States has now surpassed 22 million positive cases of COVID-19 nationwide. This is from data from Johns Hopkins, so again, fairly accurate, fairly respected institution. And also, we're breaking new records as far as new diagnoses per day. So, for instance, this past week, we had 300,000 new cases in one day across the nation for the first time since the pandemic began. So definitely showing signs that the numbers are going up, and the current efforts are seem to be not as effective as they could be. Now, the United States is again number one country by far at this point, essentially, representing about 25% of the total number of cases globally. Now, many would argue, well, are these numbers accurate? How do we know? Because other countries may not be testing to the same level. But the reality is that most of the developed countries are testing pretty aggressively now. And testing is something that has been relatively, you know, addressed, even though there are still issues here and there, especially in the African continent. The testing availability still hasn't reached where it should be. But the numbers are relatively, are at this point, you can depend on, because most people are aware of the COVID-19 now. Testing has been really made fairly readily available, given the different producers of different testing kits. So the numbers definitely probably are more accurate than they were, per se, in the early parts of the pandemic. But that being said, the United States responsible for a quarter of the world's 89 million cases, so definitely a concerning factor there. The next closest nation is India, has only 10 million cases. So, you know, for number two, India is still definitely having its own issues, but they're still far behind the United States as far as positive cases. Now, if we look at the numbers, India, which is interesting, they're number two with averaging about 150,000 new cases per day, about 160 deaths per day. They have, again, 1.3 billion people. So 1.3 billion, you know, those numbers are pretty good for that size of a populace. Now, of course, any potential death is potentially a tragedy, obviously, so don't make light of any particular individual cases. But as a global, or sorry, as a, you know, as a group kind of analysis, the percentages are actually fairly good for the Indian nation. Now, of course, three is Brazil. They're averaging about anywhere from 200,000 new cases per day, about 60 to 100 deaths per day. So again, they're also looking at fairly good death rates, given their large numbers. Yeah, so Russia's number four with about 60,000 new cases per day and approximately about 450 to 500 deaths per day. So definitely, again, Russia's going through it. And number five, UK, approximately about 80,000 cases per day, almost about 500 plus deaths as well. So for the small nation, the United Kingdom, that is definitely fairly significant numbers. So, you know, all these concerns regarding the coronavirus numbers has led to a real push as far as the, you know, vaccination of the different citizens of the various nations to ensure the spread can be reduced, or at the very least, when the spread occurs, there's a reduced chance of complications. And that's really what the vaccine is really kind of so far has stated. We talked about the vaccines and the differences in the last show, but overall, people have to recognize that, yes, the vaccines are not without issue. Many people are getting side effects, and some people are having issues from that. It's actually been recommended that if you're someone who's had a history of strong allergic reaction to previous vaccines, like the flu vaccine or mumps vaccine or other vaccines, you should probably avoid this coronavirus vaccine. It's been said that this current vaccine is actually very allergenic, and many people who are sensitive are maybe having increased response to those to this vaccine. So just be wary of that. Definitely discuss with your doctor if you're interested in getting the vaccine to see whether or not you're someone who may be considered a high risk, high priority patient, meaning that you'll be put to the front of the line for the vaccine. These are especially true for those who are suffering from immune issues or having other conditions that put them at increased risk for complications associated with COVID-19. Now, if you're someone who's relatively healthy but just want a vaccine, the good news is that there's a very strong, concerted effort to get more vaccines produced. However, there's concern that despite the strong efforts, as we said before last show, there's a strong effort between the government, various private organizations to help get these vaccines into arms as quickly as possible. One of the current programs currently in play is called Warp Speed, which was actually started by the Trump administration in response to them being kind of lambasted, if you will, for not taking the vaccine and the virus pandemic seriously. So they're trying to get, again, like we stated before, 300 million doses and 300 million people by the end of the year. Now, of course, the Biden administration, who is coming on for the next term starting January 20th, has also been focused on getting those numbers up as well. And they're actually proposing a 100 million vaccinations in the first 100 days for the United States populace. So hopefully, you know, with vaccine availability and proper, you know, coordination of the delivery of these vaccines to the people, this can be achieved. And we'll see that. And hopefully, if it does, we can see even less deaths and less complications. Because, again, that is the biggest thing with this vaccine. It's designed to help reduce the risk of you going into severe complications, going to the ICU, again, eventually succumbing to the COVID-19. That is really the main focus of the vaccine. Not necessarily to prevent you from getting it, period. And we say this because there are some reports of people getting the vaccine and still coming down with the COVID-19 infection subsequently. However, one thing we can say is that there's been no deaths at this point in time from someone who has been vaccinated previously to the COVID-19. Now, again, this is still very early, and these kind of points could change in the next few days or few weeks. So we're going to see how things play out. But I will say that I think the vaccine should hopefully be a positive component to the battle against COVID-19 and some of these complications we're seeing. So stay tuned, guys. We're going to be closely following the whole vaccine situation, and hopefully the new Biden administration's push to address people getting vaccinated quickly and efficiently will bear fruit. So we'll see, guys. And of course, other nations are having their vaccination movements as well. The UK, France, Russia, Asia, they've also been pushing for vaccination movements in their populace. So hopefully with all these things You know, COVID-19 will soon be a minimal issue, as the flu was, as the flu, you know, currently is, I would argue. So, yes, let's hope for the future, and let's hope science can really kick COVID-19's backside. Let's get it. All right. All right, guys, so with the COVID-19 pandemic going on, a lot of people getting sick, dying, and so forth. Then you got the stuff going on in D.C., by the way. Not the topic of this show, but I'm sure you guys have realized there was a mini coup that happened in the United States this past week. Now, again, this is a health and wellness show, but you cannot be concerned. You cannot be a person and not be potentially affected as far as a mental health perspective from the potential fall of your government. So that being said, there has been a lot of increase anxiety and stress as a result of all the political issues, and then you got the medical issues and the socioeconomic issues. So it's really been a trying time for many people. Now, a recent study was done, and they looked at, you know, some of the best ways to cope with potential mental issues, increased risk of depression, and ways you can combat that with some of, you know, appropriate routines that you can incorporate into your daily lifestyle to help, you know, help you manage. And they found that getting quality sleep, right, exercising, and eating regular daily servings of raw fruits and vegetables are some of the best ways to treat and reduce the risk of mental depression. Now, of course, if you're a regular viewer of the Health and Wellness Connection TV show and radio show, I should say. Also, by the way, before I keep going, the podcast, guys, will be back online this week. This is, again, second week of January. So, guys, please prescribe to the podcast, www.anchor.com/HWC Connection. So stay tuned for that. We'll put the link in the various show notes. But again, if you're someone that's looking to improve your mental health, you want to look at getting adequate sleep. Now, this is between at least 8 to 12 hours. Now, the study actually showed that if you had more than 12 hours, you actually increase your risk of depression. Less than 8 hours also increase your risk of depression. So you want to keep between 8 and 12. And before I go any further, this study actually was published in the Frontiers of Psychology. This is actually a study or an article or organization that's based out of New Zealand. So interesting location, but still very great research was done there. So we're going to talk about it. So as we said, getting sleep 8 to 12 hours is really critical to make sure that sleep component is properly satisfying those needs that your body has to reduce that risk of depression. Now, when it comes to the exercise component, you want to make sure when you're working out, you're getting at least 20 to 30 minutes at least 20 to 30 minutes of physical activity where you're getting your heart rate up, you're getting a sweat, you know, you're actually doing some sort of physical activity that's causing some stress on your body, if you will. This is kind of critical because it actually helps improve your overall metabolism. Like we said, I mean, we've talked about exercise at length on this show. We're going to talk actually more about some cool ways to continue exercising despite the cold weather. But, you know, exercising is so important. And, of course, during these winter months, people tend to work out less because, you know, outdoors aren't as pleasant to be in. So people want to be inside. May not be enough room inside to get those workouts in that maybe you would do, like, in a gym or in a other larger facility. So people tend to become more sedentary in these winter months. So we're going to talk later on the show about ways you can actually do some cool, you know, workouts indoors with the help of some apps, of course, and that'll help you kind of stay fit without the need of getting to the gym or getting to the fancy outdoor, you know, establishments, especially if you can't work out outdoors because you're in a snowing environment or it's cold. I'm actually in Houston right now, and it's actually about 30 degrees. So despite, you know, our normal reputation here in the South of being warm, we get cold days too. So, you know, these things can be helpful for anybody, but especially if you're, you know, living, like, let's say I have family who lives in Sweden, and they have 6 months of nighttime and cold weather. So you really have to get that indoor workout game on. So you want to, again, look at ways to stay physically fit indoors. We're going to talk about that so we can kind of hopefully get you guys still active despite the winter months. So back to the study. Yes, it showed that eating right or eating more raw vegetables and fruits also were helpful in keeping people from getting depressed. And it was actually recommended you eat between 3 and 5 servings of vegetables per day, which would help, I guess, you know, reduce. They saw people who did this, I should say, had lower levels of depression and anxiety when they looked at the overall clinical picture. Now, we could argue that eating raw fruits and vegetables is extremely beneficial because it's a nutrient-dense diet. So when you're eating those fruits and vegetables, your body is having the proper levels of various nutrients that's not allowing it to function properly and allowing the brain to do its thing and your heart to do its thing, and your body can function in an optimized fashion. I mean, this is why you want to give it the proper food, right? You wouldn't put garbage in and expect excellence out, would you, right? So if you're eating, you know, junk food daily in and day out, and then all of a sudden you feel like junk, you can't be shocked, correct? So eat good, nutritious food day in, day out, and sure enough, your body's going to function better, you're going to function clearer, you're going to think better, you're going to be more active, you're going to have more energy. It's just going to be an overall great day. Now, that being said, you know, you still got to deal with the people taking over the White House, so that's a whole different discussion. But at least you'll be at your physical top level of fitness when you're dealing with that stress. And that's all the study is saying. Like, if you're eating better and doing the right things, sleeping enough, you're going to be able to cope better, and you're going to be able to hopefully have a lower chance of depression. So we all want to be, you know, happier and less depressed. So definitely keep these things into consideration. All right, guys. So new information. The federal government has actually released new dietary guidelines designed to help people learn how to adjust their eating habits during this pandemic season. Now, as we stated before, people have been indoors more often, especially now during the cold winter months. People are not really going out. This is making people more sedentary, meaning they're sitting around more, not being active. Now, because of this and other multitude of factors, the federal government has released new dietary guidelines, and they're designed to help promote reduced weight, you know, as well as, you know, reduce calorie consumption. Now, the guidelines are kind of unique because they really started some new kind of, they stated some good things, but they left some things out where many critics, including myself, are actually calling them out for. And it's something that we want to talk about briefly. Now, one of the big things that they stated is that increasing your intake of sugars can be associated with weight gain. Therefore, those should be reduced. And as we stated before, you know, drinking a lot of sweetened beverages, something I actually do not recommend anyone take part in. Never want to drink sweetened anything, especially when it comes to drinks, because you're just getting literally empty calories that are just giving you an increased waistline for minimal, you know, effect. If you just really want that sweet flavor in your tongue, you're going to give yourself extra 5 pounds a year to get that flavor in your mouth. So, you know, you want to reduce those calories, and the easy way to do that for a lot of people is just eliminating sweetened beverages. So now the federal government is coming out officially saying sweetened beverages are a bad idea because they may contribute to obesity and weight gain. So this is something that we've been preaching now for many months, many years actually. Reason being, these sweetened beverages cause increased inflammation. Really, sugar does. This leads to things like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and other inflammatory conditions. So because of the concern that there's an obesity epidemic going on in America, currently 2/3 of Americans are considered overweight or obese. For this reason, you know, the federal government's saying, look, guys, we have to look at ways to reduce calories, and getting that sugar content down is going to be a very important part of that strategy. So they're officially recommending Americans reduce their sugar intake. They're also recommending that people reduce their alcohol intake as well. Now, alcohol is converted to sugar after consumption. Because of this, people are stating that this can lead to weight, and excessive alcohol intake can be a contributing factor to weight gain. Now, we did a whole show on ways to drink and kind of drinking so that you can reduce that weight gain modifier, but in a nutshell, you want to focus on liquors, avoid beer, avoid sweetened alcoholic beverages as well. But that being said, alcohol consumption can definitely be a contributing factor to weight gain. So you want to, you know, the federal government is now recommending we reduce your alcoholic beverage consumption to 1 drink a day to help reduce the risk of increased calorie consumption. Now, despite these reductions in our recommendations and reductions of sugar intake, the federal government is actually not going the next step as far as recommending explicit caps. They're saying that everyone should look at their own diet and determine what's best for them. However, many critics are saying that, look, guys, you guys need to recommend specific caps on sugar consumption so people can be very clear on what, you know, quote unquote, reducing sugar intake actually is. Because if you're taking significantly high amounts of sugar and you reduce a little bit, you're still probably over-consuming it and probably still going to gain weight. So, you know, it's very important that, you know, government be clear as far as what specific levels are recommended. Now, in my, you know, personal recommendation, when I work with clients, I tell them we create actual meal plans that are custom tailored to their calorie intake consumption. Using our ratios, we can figure out exactly how much you should be consuming of what type of macro, be it the fats, be it protein, be it sugars or whatnot. So again, you know, what I recommend, if you're someone who's interested in looking at your intake and really kind of modifying it to a personal level that will work for you and make sure you're able to lose weight or gain weight if that's what you want, you want to definitely work with a professional. Many nutritionists and other health coaches are out there who can help you with that. So definitely consider that if that's something you're looking at doing, which I obviously would recommend because it's a great way to get your diet, you know, kind of habits in check and work with a professional to help you figure out a way to keep, you know, your taste in line while at the same time working on getting your, you know, your nutrition and your diet in line so you can improve your health. Because as we stated before, eating good vegetables, eating good nutrition can improve your mental health as well as your physical health. So, you know, it can't be stated enough the importance of, you know, reducing sugar and just overall, you know, eating a more nutritious diet. Also, the federal government did recommend that we should be increasing our natural fruits and vegetables in our diet as well. So, you know, people may be saying it's, you know, kind of late to the game here, if you will. But, you know, I think it's better that the government has a lot of issues that they're having to deal with, especially like we stated before. If you also read my book, Next Level Weight Loss 2.0, we talk about some of the political and other issues that have influenced traditional recommendations issued by the federal government. You know, I'm sure you guys remember the pyramid and how you had a big old thing of bread at the bottom. So clearly, you know, these things were not really looking at the true nutrition effect. It was more so, you know, big business influencing these, you know, quote unquote pyramids and other recommendations. So, you know, I think the government has its own issues, so they're coming along slowly, but definitely, you know, there's some good things here. So check out these recommendations. There'll be a link to these recommendations if you're interested in looking at it from the horse's mouth on our site, www.facebook.com/next-level-weight-loss. So go on the Facebook page, you'll see links to the articles we discussed here as well as others, and you can kind of make a determination for yourself whether or not the government got it right, whether or not they should do things to improve some of these recommendations, make them clearer, maybe give you more caps, if you will. But that being said, I think it's best if you're truly serious about your health and wellness, hire a professional to help coach you to ensure that you're doing what's right and whatever you're doing is going to work for you. There's so many options out there, so just look out there. I'm sure you'll find someone that meets your personality profile as well as your overall, you know, goals, and they can, you know, help you get yours and or achieve yours, I should say. All right, guys, so for those who are, like, you know, concerned about they're not getting enough exercise and, you know, it's cold outside, so you don't want to go outside anymore because, you know, we're big fans of outdoor working out. You know, you want to go outdoors, it's really fun and you get the fresh air. And in the age of COVID, it actually was healthier because you can, you know, keep yourself away from everybody, stay socially distant, and do your thing. Now, I tell people, listen, outdoor workout is still the best, and if you can do it, you know, I encourage you to do it outdoors. Now, that being said, there was recently a snowstorm here in Texas, North Texas, if you will. We're in Houston, so we were actually okay, just cold. But other parts of Texas are getting snowstorms. And now this is in Texas, which is usually a relatively warm state. So other parts of the Northeast, the Midwest, you know, the Northeast and so forth, other parts of the globe, definitely have maybe more inclement weathers. Now, for my Caribbean listeners out there, I'm sure you're living in a nice, cool, you know, 75 degrees sunny. So this doesn't apply to you guys. Get outdoors and do your thing. But for those who are in the more inclement weather environments, oddly enough, Houston is one of those at this point. You want to learn that indoor workouts can be very effective and be, you know, extremely interactive and entertaining if you do them correctly. Now, I'm a big fan here on the Health and Wellness Connection TV show. We like to incorporate tech, you know, in addition with, you know, our overall physical plans to help keep us motivated. So I'm a big fan of apps and, you know, apps you can download on your phone and you can get them and they can help give you kind of strategies to stay healthy. Mainly, you know, in this situation, we're going to talk about apps that's going to help you create a indoor workout plan. Now, I'm a big fan of calisthenics. Calisthenics are, you know, resistance workouts you can do with your own body weight, so you don't need any extra weights or anything like that. It's a very minimalistic way to work out, but it's also extremely effective. Things like push-ups can be equally effective as actually going to the weight room and doing actual, you know, chest presses with weights. So, you know, Now, of course, the bodybuilding community may argue, but if you're just trying to stay healthy, keep your muscles, you know, working and strong, you know, simple calisthenics can be fantastic ways to stay healthy. So good apps that you can check out. If you want to maybe download an app that'll help maybe help you create a routine that you can do at home, do it indoors somewhere, and actually get all your body parts, you know, properly, you know, worked out, and, you know, maintain your fitness goals. Definitely consider these. So one app I recommend is called BODBOT. It's BODBOT. Now, it's a great app because it does include exercises to use equipment, but also includes a lot of, you know, body weight exercises. So you can do it, you know, you can make whatever specifications you want on the app, so you can use it in the gym or outside the gym. And then you can now also help craft yourself workouts based on your schedule, based on your focuses. You want to focus on your arms, you want to get your abs tight, you want to get your legs proper, your behind. You know, everyone has their target area. So this app will help you target whatever areas you want to focus on, and then it'll help you create, you know, actual programs to help you achieve those goals. So it'll give you, you know, a lot of cool different visual audio cues and whatnot for the different exercises, give you tips on how to do them. It also even has a food tracking component as well. So food tracking is huge and really a big part of how you can keep your calorie content in check. If you guys, again, have read my book, Next Level Weight Loss 2.0, we talk extensively about how to use apps to help track your food intake and your calorie consumption. This app has it already built in, so definitely consider BODBOT if you're interested in getting an app that'll help you physically stay active as well as work on your food intake and calorie consumption. All right, so the next app is called 8FIT, okay? 8FIT, another excellent app designed to really give you a great way to help you create body weight exercises for yourself so you can do the workouts according to schedule that you feel appropriate at home. It's just a very good app. It's a clean UI. It tells you a very, you know, simplistic way on how to kind of, you know, do the various exercises. A lot of different levels of customization. It's just a fantastic app. And also, it does have some cool yoga components as well, which I am a big fan of as well. So, you know, the 8FIT app is just a very nice app, very lovely presentation. I'm a big fan of it, and I would highly recommend you would check it out if you're interested in getting an app that'll help you clearly explain ways to work out, also give you, you know, easy to understand tips on kind of scheduling your workouts and just kind of being more committed and focused to maintaining that workout schedule. So definitely look at 8FIT if you're looking at a cool app to check out regarding, you know, staying in shape. All right, now another app that I really like as well, because I like the concept and the overall methodology, is an app called 7. Now 7 is a really awesome app because they focus on getting people who have a really difficult time getting those workouts in throughout the day. This app is designed to get you a 7-minute workout using only body weight exercises, right? And you can do this in, you know, any kind of free moment you may have. Maybe this, you do this at work, potentially during your lunch break, or you can do it before in the morning when you wake up, or after, you know, work, or sometimes, you know, when you have a 5 to 7 minute window, I should say. So this app is great because it really does it, you know, for you, helps you create a quick 7-minute workout that's effective. And if you do it daily, it can actually give you a lot of benefits on the health and wellness aspect. Now, the free version is different because all these apps have paid versions and free sides. So the free side is going to be limited, obviously. So you won't have maybe all the workouts available to you, or the limit, the times you can use it. But these workouts, I think I would try to recommend downloading these apps. Download more than one. Download 3 or 4 of them. Try them out. See which one works the best. Delete the other ones and focus on the one that you like, that fits your personality, you know, the best. So, you know, I like the 7 because of the whole 7-minute thing, which I think is, you know, a great way to keep people motivated. If it's only 7 minutes, you can do anything for 7 minutes. I mean, come on. So I think 7 minutes is a great idea. Now, I think it's also something for beginners because ultimately you may need more than 7 minutes to really get those benefits and keep them growing. But if you're someone who's definitely not, you know, working out regularly, you're fairly sedentary, this is a great beginner's app, you know, because it has a lot of workouts, over 200, and it's a simple kind of overall setup. So check out the 7 app if you're interested in getting a good app to help teach you some skills for bodyweight exercises. Now, that being said, you know, I'm a big fan, too, of person-to-person interaction. In the age of COVID, it's a little bit tougher because you want to be, you know, a little bit more careful about getting around people and so forth. But, you know, getting a live trainer is always a great idea as far as helping you, you know, find someone to help you you know, craft a workout plan and helping you kind of work out as well. So never forget about the trainers out there. You can always find, you know, trainers at your local gyms, you know, and various social media platforms. So do that if you're really looking for, you know, I would say top level motivation. So that being said, you know, wrapping up here at the end of the show, guys, it's been a great show. Thanks for checking us out today on the Health of Wellness Connection TV show. I'm your host, Dr. Barry. I really appreciate, again, you guys checking us out every week. We have great content coming up for you for the year 2021. It's going to be an exciting year. A lot of plans, a lot of exciting things on the horizon. So stay tuned. So again, we are tying up today's show. I'm Dr. Barry. Don't forget to check me out on Instagram at Dr. Barry MD. That's DrBarryMD. Of course, you can also see us on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss. And of course, last but not least, the podcast is going to be back online for 2021. All the new shows will be updated regularly as well. Check us out at www.anchor.com/HW Connection. Again, I'm Dr. Barry, your host, signing out. Peace.